The Evi B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chagigah has been dedicated in memory of Hacham Raful Muhaddeb ben Garaz and Marie Muhaddeb bat Jamile. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden Elyon. Amen. Dedicated by Dr. Isaac and Lily Muhaddeb. Hashem Yishmerem V'chayim. Amen.
Daf Chav Dalet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'adu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Le'adu Nishmat Ezra Ben Tune Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Uti Nishmatu Tzidurah B'Tzor HaYim. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema Yosef Ben Rachel. Ella refaralo, ella refaralo, ella refaralo, refot ha-nefesh, refot ha-guf, refot ha-toker, ma-labob, v'chen yirasom v'nomar, amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Dalet Amud Rishon, and we start about one third of the way down, a little more. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 lines. And Harbi'i b'kodesh pasul. We learned in the Mishnah that one of the humrot that Kodesh has over Terumah, that Kodesh goes to the Revi'i level, to the fourth degree of Tum'ah, where Terumah only goes to the Shilishi level. So the Gemara says, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosef, Minayin the Revi'i b'Kodesh hu pasul. How do you know this? What's the Torah source that a Kodesh would be like things of Korbanot, they can reach the Revi'i level. So the Gemara says Vedinu. It's actually a Kavahomer. Uma Mechusar Kippurim. Mechusar Kippurim is somebody who was a Zav. So we said 7 days he has to make Tahara. On the seventh day he goes to the Mikveh. But he's still considered Mechusar Kippurim until he brings his Korban on the eighth day. Okay, so between his Mikveh on the seventh and the Korban on the eighth, he's called a Mechusar Kippurim. He's lacking Kapara. So it says, Uma mechusar kippurim shemutar b'truma. But even in that stage, he's allowed to eat truma. Basul b'kodesh, but he cannot have kodesh. Shilishi, a shilishi level of tuma. Shepasul b'truma, that is pasul, that makes truma pasul. Enodin she'aseh revi'i l'kodesh. All the more so, it should make a kodesh a revi'i. Which means, mechusar kippurim is like a tuma. Mechusar Kippurim does not affect Teruma, but it affects Kodesh. Meaning Mechusar Kippurim cannot eat Teruma, but he's allowed to eat Kodesh. So Uma Mechusar Kippurim Shemutar B'Teruma, but he's Posel Kodesh. So a Shilishi, which is also a type of Tuma, that is Posel Teruma, all the more so it should make Revi'i, Kodesh a Revi'i. Meaning a Shilishi is more Hamur than a Mechusar Kippurim. Ma mechusar kippurim shemutar betruma asur b'kodesh a shilishi letumah that's posel truma. Truma can become a shilishi. So therefore, a shilishi is more hamur than mechusar kippurim. So therefore, a shilishi that's posel truma certainly it should posel revi'i to make it a revi'i. Velamadu shilishi l'kodesh min haTorah urbi'i b'kal v'chomer. The Gemara gives us one more line. That we learned Shilishi LaKodesh Min HaTorah, which means from the Torah we know that Kodesh reaches a Shilishi level. Meaning Urbi'i B'Kal V'Chomer. This Kal V'Chomer is only to bring me to the level of a Revi'i. I don't need to learn Shilishi. Shilishi is a Pesukim, which we'll see in a moment. Now what is the Gemara speaking this out for? So I'll explain it to you. We have a rule that says like this, Dayo Leba Min HaDin Liyot kinidon. What is this rule? When you're making a kal v'chomer and saying, if the law over here in the less stringent case is such, so in the more stringent case, kal v'chomer. However, you cannot go more. You're only able to learn from the lenient case to the stringent case at least equal. The law of Dayot tells me enough. Leba min hadin, for a law that comes from a kal v'chomer, liyot kinidon. So technically, really, if I'm making this Kal V'Chomer, I would say like this. And if what a Mechusar Kippurim, that's Mutar Betruma is Asur B'Kodesh, so a Shilishi, that's Asur Betruma, that's Posel Truma, certainly a Shilishi will Posel Kodesh.
the rule of Dayor would limit me just to learn, and then a Shilishi would posel Kodesh. But our Gemara is going further. Our Gemara is saying, a Shilishi that's posel Tumah, or the Morso will make a Revi'i Kodesh. Now using the rule of Dayor, we would bring me back down just to, I know that Shilishi also affects Kodesh. If, again, if Behusar, Kippurim, that's Mutar, B'Tumah, Zosel Kodesh, or Shilishi that's posel Tumah, certainly a Shilishi is going to be posel Kodesh. But that wasn't the Kavahomer. We went, if a Shilishi is posel Kodesh, certainly it's going to make a Kodesh a Levi'i. So using the rule of Dayor, we would limit this Kavahomer. Now we have a rule in this rule of Dayor. Hecha de Mifrach Kavahomer, where the Kavahomer would be broken, lo amrinan Dayor. Which means, if the Kavahomer would be refuted as a result of Dayor, meaning if you would break the Kavahomer, which is if you would make the Kavahomer void, then you don't say Dayor. Now, in this case over here, by saying Dayor, you're going to make this Kavahomer useless. You ask me why. You say, what do you mean? Say Dayor, and at least learn that Kodesh can become a Shilishi. I don't need a Kavahomer to teach me Kodesh can become a Shilishi, because that's a Beferush Pasuk in the Torah. So the only thing the Kavahomer could be coming to tell me is a Revi'i. And by saying Dayor, you're voiding the Kavahomer. So lo amrinan Dayor hekad de nifrach Kavahomer. So therefore the Gemara is giving us the two stages here. Shilishi min Torah, Revi'i min Kavahomer. And the reason why the Gemara has to tell us that, because if Shilishi wasn't min Torah, so that would be the Kavahomer. We would learn only Shilishi level. We wouldn't learn Revi'i level, because we would institute the principle of Dayor. But now that Shilishi I know already, so the only thing I could use this Kavahomer for is what? To teach me a Revi'i. Oh, say Dayor. No, by saying Dayor now, then you have no Kavahomer. I don't need it. The Kavahomer is not going to work for Revi'i, and I don't need it for Shilishi. Hecha de nifrach Kavahomer, lo amrinan Dayor. So that's the, well, let's read that inside in Rashi. אין עודין שיעשה רביעי לקודש ואם תאמר דיו לבא מן הדין להיות כנידון why don't you say דיו meaning just say that קודש can become a שלישי שלישי is פוסל תרומה so certainly a שלישי should be פוסל קודש שלישי says אם כן קו החומר לא צריך that the קו החומר is useless why שרי למדו שלישי לקודש מן התורה שלישי I know already ואחד מפרח קל וחומר, where the קל וחומר is going to be refuted, לא אמרינה דיו לבא מן הדין להיות כנידון כדמיון בבא קמא. דאנשי gives another חידוש here. ולמן דאמן מאמרינה דיו, no, and according to the opinion that says, no, you say דיו, which means even if the קל וחומר is broken, you say דיו, so therefore, over here, the only thing I need to learn is a רביעי. Say דיו, and therefore break the קל וחומר. So he says, in a Kanami, according to the opinion that says you would say Dayo even when the Kavahomer is broken, you have to say that Revi'i Bakodesh according to him is only the Rabbanan. It's not the Oraita. If you would learn it from a Kavahomer, Revi'i would be the Oraita. If you don't learn it from a Kavahomer, so therefore it will be the Rabbanan. So you have to say, according to the opinion that says you would say Dayo when you break the Kavahomer, in a Kanami he says, break the Kavahomer. Oh, so where does he get a Revi'i from? It's only a Ma'alad Rabbanan. So therefore it comes out, it's a fantastic Ma'aluk, and if Revi'i Bakodesh is the Oraita, the Rabbanan. According to the opinion that says you don't say Dayo when the Kavahomer is going to be broken, the Kavahomer teaches me a Revi'i. According to the opinion says, no, you say Dayo even when the Kavahomer is broken. Therefore, the Kavahomer is not effective anymore. So how do I know Revi'i? You don't know Revi'i. But the Torah only Shilishi is like Kodesh. Oh, so what Hakamim said Revi'i? You're right. Hakamim said Revi'i. According to that opinion, it's only the Rabbanam. Now let's read that inside the Gemara. Again, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosef, I'm reading again the Gemara. Minayin Revi'i Bakodesh Upasu Vidinu Ma Mehusar Kippurim Shemutar Betruma. Now, how do you know, incidentally, that a mehusar kippurim is mutar betruma? So that she says, we know that from a second yevamot, a dafayin dalet. That's a drasha. Pasul bakodesh shilishi shebasul betruma. Now, how do you know a shilishi is pasul betruma? So that she says, shilishi shebasul betruma kedinaf kalan kavahom masikat sota. We have a kavahomer to teach me that shilishi gets the teruma. How do we know? Umat tibul yom. What's a tibul yom? Tibul yom is somebody that went to the mikveh, but did not have erev shemesh. He went to the mikveh during the day, but he did not yet wait till nightfall. Umat tibul yom shemutar b'maaser, he's permissible to eat maaser sheni at tibul yom. Asur b'truma, but he cannot eat truma. Sheni shepasul b'maaser, somebody that is a sheni, meaning his hands, let's say, are a sheni, that he cannot eat. Ma'aser enodin she'aser shlishim truma, or the moser will make a shlishim truma. A truma tevul yom that's mutar b'ma'aser. He's asur b'truma, a sheni that's asur b'ma'aser. Certainly, it's going to be posel truma to make it a shlishi. Comes Gemara and says, "Ein odin she'aser revi'i lakodesh v'lemadu shlishi lakodesh min haTorah v'revi'i v'kav v'homer shlishi lakodesh min haTorah minayin." How do you know from the Torah level that Kodesh can reach a shlishi degree? Tichtiv b'basar asher yigah bechol tameh lo ya'achil. What type of basar are we talking about? Basar of korban. It says basar that touched any type of tum'ah, you cannot eat it. Mi lo askinan denagah b'sheni. Are we talking about that it touched even a sheni? Because isn't a sheni a level of tum'ah? Because you have, let's say, food stuff that's in a keli hayres. The keli hayres became a rishon. The food stuff inside of it became a sheni, because that's the context of this pasuk. And the basar of Kodesh touched that food stuff. And what does the pasuk say? It's going to be tameh lo yachil. So we learn from over here, the kama rachmana lo yachil. So if we see from the Torah level, it reaches already a shlishi. Ah, revi'i mekav v'homer. How do you know revi'i from mekav v'homer? Hadam nina. We said already that revi'i mekav v'aruma me'usar kipurim. Shemutar betruma asul lakodesh. A shlishi shepasul betruma enodin she'aser revi'i bakodesh. And we're not going to say dayo, because we're going to write the kav v'homer, because otherwise we have nothing to learn from it. But therefore, we learn revi'i from a kav v'homer. That is the final point of the Gemara. So somebody asks, where do you know the revi'i bakodesh? Answer is kav v'homer mechusar kipurim. Or according to one opinion, you're right, it's only mitrabanan. Now, ubetruma im nitmet. We learned in the Mishnah. We go further. One of the ma'alot in the Mishnah was betruma. One of a person's hands become tameh, so we say that the other hand remains tahor. Whereas by kodesh, if one of his hands become tameh, both hands become tameh. One hand becomes a sheni. For kodesh, we consider both hands tameim. That's a chumrah that we made by kodesh. Now the Gemara is going to explain the details of this chumrah. Comes Gemara and says, "Ubetruma im nitmet." Amar if she's be bihburin shanu, avas shelo bihburin lo. Rav Shizbi says a big hadush on the Mishnah. This chumrah that we said by kodesh is only talking about if the tameh hand is touching the tahor hand, while the tahor hand is touching the kodesh. Here's the kodesh. One hand is tameh, right hand is tameh, left hand is tahor. Good? His left hand is touching kodesh. No problem. Left hand can touch kodesh. It's tahor. His right hand, which is tameh, is touching his tameh hand now. Tahor hand, I'm sorry. His tameh hand is on his tahor. That's the case where we're mahmir by kodesh. Now, why would we be mahmir in such a case? So that she says, the reason why we're mahmir, because we're concerned that maybe the tameh hand is going to touch the kodesh. Davka bihburim shanu. Davka where the hands are touching and the tahor hand is touching the kodesh. Then we're going to say, tameh, dilma, maybe the tameh is going to touch the kodesh. However, shelo bihburim, meaning, if just let's say the tameh hand touched the tahor hand, and then you let go, now the tahor hand is free and it touches the kodesh, no problem. So that's the only case of Shizbi says, in the Mishnah, Davka b'hiburim shanu. Tosfot Ovi has a very strong question against Rashi's understanding. Tosfot says, if you're telling me Davka b'hiburim shanu, so it's got nothing to do with making the tahor hand tameh. It's got to do that you're worried that the tameh hand is going to touch. I mean, the Mishnah's lashon was that when it comes to Kodesh, both hands are tameh. That's not the pshat. What do they have to make the second hand tameh for? And require you to do the mikveh. The real point is, they're worried about the tameh hand touching. So Tosfot says that the reason why they made both hands tameim is because already once one hand became tameh, the concern was that maybe he wasn't careful, and maybe somehow the tumah really went on both hands. So they're really osering
both hands because of like a gezerah. That since already it's kodesh is hamur. So already once one hand became tameh, so already we'll say maybe the guy was not careful. So already see one hand became tameh. So when they put a chumrah, that even the second hand is going to be tameh. However, to make the kodesh tameh, to make the kodesh, we're going to require the second hand also to have tevilah. But to make the kodesh tameh, Rav Shizbi says again, davka behburin shanu. Davka in a case where the tahor is touching the kodesh and the tameh is on the tahor, and therefore you're concerned over here that the tameh is going to touch the actual kodesh itself. That is shitat Rashi. Look at the Rashi. Behburin shanu. Matnitin dektani yad metamehat chavirtan kodesh. That which we said, that one hand is metameh, the other for kodesh. Kegon shebeod shayad etemehanu gal the tahara. So long as the tameh hand is touching the tahor hand, aita teorah nugat b'kodesh. The Torah is touching the kodesh. The gazur banan dilma atel minga tameah b'kodesh means the gezerah is that his hand that's tameh might touch the kodesh. Comes the Gemara and says that's shtav Rav Shizbi. Eti be Abaye. Abaye has a question. Yad neguba. What is yad neguba? A dry hand. Let's say his hand is a sheni. Okay, but it's dry. Metameh havirta, it has the ability to metameh its friend, meaning its other hand, the right hand can metameh the left hand. Letameh lakodesh, to make kodesh tameh. What does that mean? That means one hand can make the other hand a sheni. That means a sheni can make a sheni. Letameh kodesh. Tameh kodesh means you'll touch kodesh, it'll make kodesh a shilishi. That shilishi can metameh now and make even another level of kodesh to a revi'i. Okay, that's the etive. Yad metameh havirta, even if they're naguf, even if they're dry, that's the hiddush. And what? To metameh kodesh. Again, yad neguva metameh havirta metameh kodesh. Aval lo litruma. But not for teruma. Okay? Doesn't affect teruma. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda omer lifsol aval lo litameh. He agrees that yad neguva could be metameh its other hand. However, litameh, I'm sorry, lifsol velo litameh. What does lifsol mean? It sounds like this hand will become a shilishi. The sheni will make the other hand a shilishi, and thereby when he touches kodesh, it will make an a rivi'i, and it ends there. That's why we use the word pasul. Okay, that's the etive. Now let's see exactly what the understanding is. Gemara says, "I amar pishlama shelo b'heburin haynu rebuta deneguba." What's the tradition of this braita? You know what the tradition of this braita is? That tum'ah is able to transfer from hand to hand, even if they're dry. Normally, we say if the hands are wet, meaning if there's, let's say, liquid on the hand, when liquid is on a sheni hand, those liquids turn and become a rishon. That's the way the rabbi said it works. There was liquid on a hand that's a sheni, the liquid becomes a rishon. Now I can understand if you're touching the other hand, a rishon is able to make hands a sheni. I can understand. The chidush over here of this braita is that even if they're dry, one hand is going to metameh the other hand. Nafka mina. Now the second hand that became tameh, if it touches kodesh, either it'll make it a shilishi or revi'i, so that's already a hidush, right? However, so bishlama shlo b'hiburin hanu rebuta. If you're telling me that we're talking about over here where the hands are not touching each other, shlo b'hiburin, so we have a hidush in why you told me the case? Then you go back that it's dry. Ela iyamat b'hiburin in shlo b'hiburin. No, but if you're going to be like Rav Shizbi, this is the only time that it's tameh, that it transfers tumah to the kodesh, is when the hands are touching each other. What's the hadush of neguba? Which means, if you tell me that the right hand is tameh, right? So you tell me if they're dry, the tumah transfers from one hand to the other hand. If you're learning the cases only talking where the tahor hand is touching the kodesh and the tameh hand is on it, so it's got nothing to do with neguba or not neguba. The point is that the right hand, the tameh hand, might touch the kodesh. Which means, what did you have to go out of your way and say neguba? Neguba is not the hiddush over here. If you tell me dafka, the kodesh can only become tameh b'hiburin, like Rav Shizbi said. So therefore, the issue is that the tameh might touch the kodesh. It's got nothing to do with neguba. It's got nothing to do with hands transferring to the one end. The issue is that the tameh might touch the kodesh itself. But if you tell me that even shalom b'hiburan shanu,
So now everybody, I understand the hadush is etibe. The hadush of the Braita is what? That even though the hands are dry, tum'ah is able to transfer from one hand to the other, and then subsequently, that hand can now go and touch kosher and make it either a shlishi or a revi'i. But if you tell me that the case is Dr. Shizmi said dafka bihaburin, so what did you tell me nigubin? Which means nigubin is not a hadush anymore. I'm not interested. It's not the transfer per se from hand to hand. That's the issue. The issue is that the tameh hand might touch the kodesh. So therefore, nigubin is not the factor. Look at Nashi. Bottom Nashi. Iyamat b'shlamat shelo bihaburin. Kamar. If the black is talking about shelo bihaburin, that the hands are not touched, which each hand is separate. Temet tameh hainu rebuta de niguba. Now I know the hadush of the gubah. De'afal gav, the gubah, he kishen agav bezu. Even though the hands were dry when they touched each other, then lachos shem al gav yadatu rabbe maskin shebetemeah shen lishonim. Right, and I'm not concerned about any liquid because it was dry. De'chol aposil teruma metame maskin liot techila, because a sheni is able to make maskin a lishon. Because if maskin would fall on a hand, that's a sheni. The way they call a sheni is kol aposil the teruma. A sheni is posel teruma, so that's a halachic way of saying a sheni. Kol posel et teruma, anything that can be posel teruma, meaning a sheni, becomes a, with mashkin, becomes a rishon. Meaning if mashkin fall on a sheni, the mashkin turn into a rishon. V'avi lahach yad namesh sheni, amachmat the mashkin, kimo havretah. Afilu hachi metameha, the ma'alad rabbanani, the hadush is, the rabbis made a ma'ala, shaya metamat havretah, la'asot sheniya kimotah lakodesh. Which means fine, which means the hadush over here is even without water, niguba for kodesh, one hand can metameh the other hand. No problem. But if you tell me the case that you're touching the kodesh only if the tameh hand is touching, and the hadush says that we're worried that maybe the tameh hand is going to touch the kodesh, mayri butat niguba. Atu yad kamaita lo metameh the kodesh belo maskin. Hello, Shiniyai. What do I care about Mashkin? Bottom line, the first hand is a Shiniyai Mamash. So where did the Nigubin is not the issue? Which means, the first is going to be under all circumstances. So we have to be Nigubin. When was the Nigubin? If it wasn't Nigubin, it's not going to be a Tameh. The first hand is a Tameh regardless. So therefore, this is a question against Rav Shizbi. I repeat. You, Rav Shizbi, wanted to say the case of the Mishnah. It's Dafka Bihaburin. Dafka, where the hands are touching each other and it's touching the Tum'ah, the Kodesh. And the Hadush is what? It's going to be Asur, because maybe the Tameh is going to actually touch the Kodesh itself. So if that's the case of it, so what's the case of this blight over here? You told me that the hands that are Naguvim, that are dry, commit Tameh each other. They've committed Tameh each other. Oh, hence to the Hadush. Then even though there was no water, one hand can make another hand a sheni, and therefore affect kodesh. But if you tell me the hands are touching each other, who cares about Nigubin? The Hadush is not Nigubin. The point is that the first hand might touch the original kodesh. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nameh, we have a Amoraic statement to support what we just said. Amar Eshlakish, the Shakish said, Lo Shanu Ela Yado. So this that we said, one hand commit Tameh, the other hand, we're giving more details now. That's only Yado, his own hand. Aval Yad Habiro Lo. Okay, rule. This is all Chumrot for Kodesh, by the way. So the rabbis can decide exactly how far they want to take it. So that which we said, one hand is Metameh, the other hand, that's only your own hands. However, it cannot affect Yad Habiro. I mean, if guy's hands is a sheni, and he shakes his friend's hand, Kodesh Shlakish, his friend's hand does not get Tameh. They only said this Chumrah by one hand to the next. Rashi, habayad habero, im nagaa biyad habero, lo temea. Rabbi Hanan amar, Rabbi Hanan says, echad yado, ve'echad yad habero. So first of all, Rabbi Hanan is mahmir. Not only does one hand metameh your own hand, the other hand, but it's also metameh yad habero. However, there's one condition. Be'ota hayad lefsol, abalo letameh. Well, first of all, he says, it can only reach the level of psul, but not letameh. That means he'll consider it sounds like the hand, the second in the shilishi, and therefore when he touches kodesh, it's only able to be posel to make it revi'i. But he says be'ota hayad. What does be'ota hayad mean? That which Rabbi Yohanan says, that if the tameh hand touches his friend's hand, his friend hand will also become tameh, that's only the original hand. Meaning, if the original hand that was tameh sheni touches the friend, be'ota yad, then we'll say that yad of the friend becomes a sheni or shilishi actually. However, if his tameh hand touched his own other hand, and that other hand touched a friend, no. That's already twice removed. So again, the humrah of havero only applies to be'otayad. The original hand that was, meaning, his right hand was tameh, his left hand was tahor. According to the Shtakish and Rabbi Hanan, one hand could be tameh, the other. Good, so now his hand touched the other one, bingo, they're both tameh now. Now let's say the left hand touched havero, nothing. Only the right, only the original hand, that's why they're learning Rashi, the Rabban learns that in Rashi, that's what Rabbi Hanan says. So basically, what do you see? But both Rabbi Hanan and Shtakish subscribe to the opinion of, for Kodesh, Tum'ah can transfer from one end to the other end, even without water, because that's already a Humrah of Kodesh. Good? Now obviously you have to say that this Hadush over here is nothing to do with Hiburin. Nothing to do with Hiburin. The Hadush is over here that what? One hand commit tameh the other, and therefore both hands now, even without touching each other, the issue is that the hands are actually tameh. So comes the Gemara and says, Mimai. Which means, what's the Gemara's question? You just told me that what? Rabbi Hanan, you just told me that what the Yad? Commit tameh somebody else. I didn't know that. Already being, again, I have no problem how you tell me one hand can be tameh the other hand. Because that's what the Mishnah says, by the way. Our Mishnah, when it talked about the Chumrah of Kodesh, according to Rabbi Yohanan, you understood the Mishnah? Yad mitameh haverta la Kodesh. Meaning, if one hand is tameh, it'll make the other hand tameh. He learns it literally. That one hand that's tameh, sheni, legabe Kodesh will make the other hand. That's a quote from our Mishnah. Yad mitameh haverta, I'm sorry, im nitmet yado achat, nitmet yado sheniya. Which means, according to Rabbi Yohanan, he's learning that literally. If one hand became tameh, pshini, and it touched the second hand, as he's learning, so then already, we're going to have a deen of, both hands are going to be tameh. Now if you touched Kodesh, it's going to affect the Kodesh. But how do you know from our Mishnah, that it even affects, if he touches his friend's hand? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, midiktani sefa, from the second part of the Mishnah, שהיד מטמאה חברתה לקודש אבל לא לתרומה. If you remember the language of the Mishnah, it was a double statement here. It says in the Mishnah, it said in the beginning of the Mishnah, שאם נטמאת ידו אחת נטמאת שנייה, שהיד מטמאה חברתה בקודש. That's redundant. Once you told me that if one yad became tameh, the second yad becomes tameh, what do you have to tell me? שהיד מטמאה חברתה. So the Gemara asks, "Hatu lamali?" What do you need that second statement? Hatanya laresha. We learned it right in the beginning. Shayyad b'tameh haverta la kodesh. Ela lav shma'mina la'atuye yad havero. It's coming to tell me the first statement is his own hands. Yado b'tameh haheret la kodesh. Shayyad b'tameh haverta. Oh, that's coming to include even the friends. So it's actually from the Mishnah. Which means, if somebody would ask, what's the proof of Kotel Rabbi Yohanan? That Haverta, if he touches his friends and comes to Ameh, it's a Bifurush Mishnah. The second statement of the Mishnah. Good? Now, how is Rav Shizbi going to learn our Mishnah? Rav Shizbi really learns the Mishnah much different than Rabbi Yohanan. Because he says the second name really doesn't become Tameh. So how does the Kodesh get affected? Because only talking about Bihburan Shanu. So therefore, what the Mishnah is saying like this, Shiyado mitameh haverta bakodesh, that not one hand can make the other hand tameh. He says, no, if it's dry, the tumah's not going to transfer. Oh, so then how does the kodesh become tameh? So he says, Shiyado mitameh haverta, meaning when the two hands are together, behemurin, and they're both touching the kodesh, then we're concerned that the tameh might touch the kodesh. So there was a fantastic mahluk between the Shizbi and Yohanan. According to Yohanan, no, it's very simple. One hand touches the other, that other hand, that big hand comes tameh, touches kodesh, finished, out. Whereas according to Rav Shizbi, no. One hand cannot be mitameh another hand. Also, how to become tameh in the Mishnah? Bihaburin shanu. And that's what he learns from the extra words of Shayad mitameh haverta. The Mishnah is coming along to say mitameh haverta, meaning when there's habur. When there's habur between the two hands, and we're worried that the tameh might touch the tahor, kodesh, and make it tameh. Now, in this Gemara, we did say a great mahluk between the Shtakish and Rabbi Yohanan. Right? According to the Shlakish, the Shlakish came along and said, only his hand to his other hand, but not to his friend. Rabbi Yohanan said, even to his friend. So the Gemara says, Ve'af Rishlakish Hadarbe. Oh, the Shlakish retracted from his statement. He came even to agree to Rabbi Yohanan. How do you know? The Amar of Yonah, Amar of Amir, Amar of Shlakish. Ehad Yado, Ve'ehad Yad Chaviro. Okay, clearly the Shlakish comes to admit, like Rabbi Yohanan, that even Yad Chaviro, Be'ota Hayad. Again, but only the original hand, Lifsol. Again, he learns it, Lifsol, meaning that L'chaura, the hand will make a Kodesh, a Shilishi, which means in his own hands, meaning one hand touches the other hand. According to the Shlakish, that second hand sounds like it becomes a Shilishi. Now when it touches Kodesh, it's going to make it a Divi, that means Pasul. Abalo l'tameh. So the Gemara says, V'lifsol abalo l'tameh tana'ehi. I'm going to go to the side point. This mahloka that we just said between Yohanan and Shlakish, does the Kodesh become a Shilishi or a Divi'i? That's actually a mahloket tana'im. Now let me explain to you what the mahloket is going to be. What's going to affect if this Kodesh that's being touched is going to become a Shilishi or a Divi'i? What's going to depend on is what the hand became. Right. If the, we know the first hand is a Shini, that's clear. When the first hand touches the second hand for Kodesh, does it become a Shini? Well, if it becomes a Shini, then it's metameh. Because you make a Shilishi to make a Divi'i. But if you say the hand becomes a Shilishi, then it's going to be Pasul. So the Gemara would say, actually, this is a Mahloket Tanaim, this subject. Okay. Where do we see the Mahloket Tanaim? It says, that now we have a Mishnah. Kol HaPosel B'Truma. What is Posel Truma? Posel Truma is again, Allah, we have saying a Sheni. Because a Sheni can be Posel Truma. So Kol HaPosel B'Truma Metamei Yadayim Liyot Sheniyot. Which means very good. A Sheni can make a Sheni. Sheni hands can make the other hands a Sheni. The Yad Metameh Haverta. He speaks that clearly. And one hand, that's a Sheni, Metameh, it's friend. It's other. The right can Metameh the left to make it Sheni. The Yad Metameh Haverta. That's its own hands. Its own hands. The Verbi Yeshua. Now again, according to this opinion, Smash Rawah, the hands are a Sheni. Making Kodesh A. Shadishi to make a Divi'i. That's Metameh. V'achemim amurim Yadayim Sheniyotin. We say, no. The hands of a Sheni, ve'en Sheni ose Sheni. A Sheni cannot make a Sheni. So the Gemara makes a diuk. My love Sheni hu delo avid. Ha-Shilishi avid. Smart by that. It doesn't make a Sheni, but the Sheni will make a Shilishi. Therefore make Kodesh a Divi'i, which is Pasul. So we find a great mahalak to be Yeshua and Hachamim on what the hands become. Nafkamina, what the Kodesh is going to become. So the Gemara, who told you? Dilma lo sheni avid velo shilishi. Which means, maybe what Hakamim was saying, that hands don't make not a sheni and not a shilishi. Well, who told you to make a deal can say, because hands, sheni, cannot make another sheni. But a shilishi it makes. Maybe it doesn't make anything. Maybe hands do not transfer to ma'a beklal, according to Hakamim. So therefore, you haven't found this mahlukit yet. The gabeh, a hand touching another hand, does it make it a shini or a shilishi? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where we found it. Ela kihani tana'im. It's like the following tana'im. Netanya yad neguba. Oh, we had this case already on the Amud Rishon. Dry hands. Metamet haverta. Metameh its friend, meaning right hand to the left hand. Letameh bakodesh. What does that mean, letameh? That means the second hand will become a sheni. To make Kodesh a Shilishi, to make it a Divi'i. Havalot Truma, Divi'i Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Amir, Ota Yad Lefsol, Havalot Tameh. But Rabbi Yosef says, no. The second hand only has to be Posel. That means the Sheni will make a Shilishi to make a Divi'i. So therefore, just to review, first we have to know, this is a big Hadush, that one hand can make the other hand a Tumah. Normally we don't say that. But for Kodesh, we're being Mahmir. So the Mahloket comes out, because then we have a three-way machloket. You have Rabbi that says, Sheni will make the hands of Sheni to be metameh. You have Rabbi Yosef that says, the Sheni will make the other hands a Shilishi, Lifsol. And then you have the Hachamim Shita that we just saw above, that in Sheni or say Sheni, it makes it nothing. And then that hand remains Tahor. And that's also the opinion of Rav Shizbi, that also says that, no, the hands over here are not going to metame each other. The issue is over us. Bihamurin shanu. That's the way. So it comes out when you go back to Al Mishnah, you have two ways of learning the Mishnah. Either the case is talking about, like Rabbi Hanan learned, one hand is going to metame the other hand for Kodesh, and therefore when you touch it, it's going to affect the Kodesh. And then even according to Rabbi Hanan, Havirta, even if your hand touches somebody else's hand, it's going to be, they'll do the same thing. Whereas according to Rav Shizbi, no. The case of the Mishnah is one hand was a sheni, but Bihamuran, with the hands were touching each other and touching the Kodesh, we're concerned that the Taman might touch the Kodesh. And that's why it becomes Taman, from the original hand. Because the Tuma does not transfer according to Rav Shizbi. Comes the Gemara continues. Ochlim ochalim neguvim beyadayim mesu'avot. Now the reason we learned this Mishnah as follows. God's eating terumah. The Mishnah says, Ochlim neguvim. What does neguvim mean? They were dry. Meaning, the way we learned in the Mishnah, the terumah was never wet. Meaning, it was never mukshar letum'ah. Therefore, even if his hands were a sheni, he could eat this terumah. Why? Because since the foodstuff of terumah was never mukshar, there's no conduit. Right, there's no transfer of tum'ah from the hands to the terumah. Right? So that's ochlim. Ochlim negubim biyadayim mesu'avot. However, we said not for Kodesh, which is a big hadush. Even though the Kodesh never got wet, and his hands are a sheni, the sheni can make a shelishi, even though there was no hakshara. That means even though there was no hakshara, that's the implication of the Mishnah. Yes. Again, when he's eating teruma, it follows the regular law. Since it was niguvin, it was dry, and it was always dry, it was never wet. No akshara, so the sheni ends. Well, yadayim mesu'avot are not going to affect the teruma. Eat as much as you want, no problem. Mashenken the kodesh. Now, how do you understand mashenken? Because even though the kodesh was not mukshar, still the sheni ends are going to affect it. Mm-hmm. So comes the Gemara and asks on this point. The Gemara says, Tanya Amar Hanina ben Antigonos, Vechi yesh neguva la kodesh, Vahalo hibat ha kodesh makhsharatan. He says like this, what is the Gemara implying that even if the kodesh was not mukshar, we have a rule, kodesh automatically is mukshar, even without water, based on the principle, hibat ha kodesh makhsharatan. Which means, since Kodesh is very hashuv, and it's very esteemed and endeared by it, the people, so the mere fact that it's hashuv, it has an automatic hechsher. So therefore, we go back to the Mishnah now. The Mishnah doesn't make any sense anymore. Because you're telling me that, and Kodesh, even though it's naguv, even though it never got wet, meaning even though it was never mukshar, the Tumah can go to it. What do you mean never mukshar? That's a false statement. Kodesh is always mukshar. It's mukshar even if it never got wet in the first place. So therefore we got to go back to the Mishnah and re-explain. So the Gemara says a tremendous hadush, a tremendous revamping of the Mishnah. Lo tzericha. You know what the case is? Kegon shetachav lo havero letoch piv o shetachav hu le'atzmo bekush u'bekarkar. The guy's eating Kodesh. His hands are a sheni. The Kodesh never got wet. Doesn't matter. Kodesh is automatically mukshar, hibbat, and Kodesh mechsharato. Could he eat this Kodesh with his hands? Of course not. Once he touches it, it becomes shilishi. So how did the Kodesh get in his mouth? Somebody else put it in his mouth. He was being fed by someone and his hands were tahor. Or he ate it with a kush or a karkar. Kush or karkar is like a stick, a fork. So therefore the tum'ah, he didn't touch, that's the point. So now he has Kodesh in his mouth, very good. Anything become tameh yet? Nothing. Now the fork is talking about a fork that's a pishutik of the eitz, that cannot become tameh. So far the guy's okay. Now what's the problem with the Mishnah? So it says like this. U'bikesh le'echol snon u'batzal shel holin immahim. With the Kodesh in his mouth, he now wants to eat either a radish regular food, holin, or an onion. Happens, a guy has food in his mouth, wants to throw a radish in his mouth as well. Also, now what's the issue over here? The issue over here is like this. This radish over here is negubin. We're not talking about the terumah and all that other stuff. We're talking about over here, when we said negubin, it was referring to the radish or the onion of Hodin that he wants to put in his mouth, meaning it's naguv, meaning it is dry. Nothing to do with hakshara. Nothing to do with hakshara. Just dry, there's no water on it. Now, what's the explanation there's no water on it? There's no water on it. So now the guy's hands are a shinny. Correct? I pick up this dry radish. Anything happen to this radish?
No.
No, it's holin. I don't care what happens to this radish. Okay?
Yeah.
Radish is it's not kodesh, it's a holin. Good. Nothing happens. I stick it in my mouth. Anything happen?
No.
Nothing happens. Beautiful. However, what would happen if it was wet? If it was wet, to be a problem. Because when I would pick up this radish now in my hands, okay? Now what would happen, this water now would be on my hands. What happens when water goes on a shiny hands? It becomes a rishon. Oh, now it becomes a rishon. So I got a problem. What's my problem? I'm worried now that when I stick my fingers in my mouth, I might touch the kodesh that's in my mouth. Or I might touch the terumah, let's even, that's in my mouth. Now if a rishon is going to touch the food that's in the mouth, the terumah can make it tameh, can make it a sheni. So therefore, if the food was wet, if the radish tchonin that was wet, you cannot eat it not with terumah and not with kodesh. And understand why. Because if it's wet, I'm worried I'm going to pick up the radish. I have kodesh in my mouth, or terumah in my mouth. For that, there's no difference between terumah and kodesh. But what? It's asur to eat it with anything, terumah or kodesh. I'm worried I'm going to pick it up. The water now from the radish is going to go on my hands. This water is going to become a rishon. So what? Let it become a rishon. I'm worried when I stick the food in my mouth, now my hand is going to touch. It's going to touch the food that's in the mouth. If it's going to touch the food in the mouth, it's going to make a problem. So look at Rashi now. Look at Rashi. But that's not the case. The guy's putting the food in his mouth with his hands because it's holin. Look at Rashi. Then yan teruma. See Rashi. Then yan teruma. Afat pi shayad misu avot. Even though his hands, let's say, are misu avot, posalta. That's a shini can make a shelishi by teruma. Lo asu maala ila amrinan zahir velo naga. I'll say it like this. The guy's hands are shini, right? The guy's hands are a shini. Put the terumah in his mouth. How do you get the terumah in his mouth? Somebody else put it in his mouth. Because if he would have touched the terumah directly, it's tameh, make a shilishi. So that's not the case. How do you get the terumah in his mouth? Somebody else put the terumah in his mouth? Or he used a fork. That cannot become tameh. A wooden fork or something like that. So he got terumah in his mouth. Everything okay so far? Yeah. Fine. Now continue. Vachi kamar manitin. Ochlin. Ochlin chulin. You're allowed to eat chulin. That's the radish or the onion. Beyadayim misuavot. Even though your hands are a sheni, ima terumah. With the terumah, which means I'm not worried about any problem. The terumah got into my mouth by somebody else. Now take chulin that's dry, put it in my mouth. Nothing could happen, right? I'm not worried that anything's going to touch. Aval lo ima kodesh. However, but not with kodesh. You can't do that with kodesh. Why? Ulaaki nakat negubin. She'ilu akshava yu mashkin alein. Because if there was mashkin on the radish or on the onion, hayum mashkin na'asin rishonim mahmata yadayim. When the guy's hands would touch it, what would it make those liquids now? That liquid now would be, since it came in contact with his hand when he picked up the radish, his hands touched that water on the radish becomes now a rishon. Ve'osin et acholim shenim. And it's going to make now the cholim a what? A sheni. Uksenugim betrumah shebepiv poslinota. Very good, he's going to put the radish in his mouth, the radish is a sheni, he's going to touch the terumah, to be a problem. Explain one more time.
Very simple now. The guy ate his Ezra Shini. Any problem for him to eat his Teruma? Big problem. If he touches this Teruma, it's going to become a Shini Shi. Good, you know what the case is? Somebody else put it in his mouth. Beautiful. Teruma is fine? Good. Now he wants to eat the radish of Chulin. The radish of Chulin is Tahor. Any problem with him taking a dry radish and putting it in his mouth?
Yeah.
No problem. If everything's dry, no problem. The Chulin is Chulin, it's not Tameh. Cannot affect the Teruma in his mouth. Mm. However, let's say there's water on this radish. No problem so far. Water on the radish, big deal. But when a sheni hand touches that water, what's going to make that water now? It's going to make it become a rishon. Subsequently, that rishon is going to make the radish a sheni. Now I take the radish and put it in my mouth. The sheni is going to touch the teruma, which is in the mouth, going to make it a shenishi. So therefore, if it's wet, you cannot eat it even with teruma. Oh, so what's the case where Kodesh, we're being Mahmir? By Kodesh, we're Mahmir, even if it's dry, which means, if it's dry, what could happen over here? Still, we're not going to let you eat the radish and put it in the mouth when you have Kodesh. Humrah. Understand the Humrah over here? Which by Teruma, we're only going to be Mahmir if the radish is wet. That's not a Humrah. That's already Deen. If the radish is wet, the radish becomes Shani. You can put Shani food in your mouth with the Teruma. It'll make it a Shani Shi. The Hiddush over here is what? That even if it's dry, for Kodesh you can't put it in your mouth. Okay, now we're in the Chumrah. So let's go back to the Mishnah. Ochlim Negubim is not talking about the Kodesh and the Teruma. The Ochlim Negubim is on the Chulin foods. Which means, because Kodesh is automatically Mukshar. Hibata Kodesh Makhsharatan, which means Kodesh without even wetting it, it's considered a problem. It's already mukshal tuma. So the hadush is for Kodesh to Mahmi. Once you pick up the Kodesh, how do you get it in your mouth? Somebody else put it in your mouth. Good. So the Kodesh is in my mouth. It's by somebody else. Is it Tahor still? Yeah. Seemingly, to take a dry radish of Cholin and put it in my mouth as well, should be no problem. Correct? Should be no problem. Because the radish cannot... But Hakamim will say, now why were they... What's the logic? The concern is like this. Because when I'm going to stick the radish in my mouth for Kodesh, my hand, my finger, which is a sheni, might touch the Kodesh. No, isn't it logical? When I stick something in my mouth, isn't it possible that my hand could touch with the food that's in my mouth? No, my hand's a sheni. So I'm not worried about the actual dry food. The dry food's not going to affect, but my hand's going to affect. So if by Kodesh, they were Mahmir. But by Teruma, what did they say? The guy will be careful. Because also by Terumah, if his hands were a Shini, touch the Terumah in his mouth, it also makes it a Shini. Well, say by Terumah, when he puts the radish in it, he'll be careful to put it in a way where his hands not going to touch the Terumah that's in his mouth. Understand how it's working over here? I'll say it one more time quickly. The guy has Terumah in his mouth. He got it in his mouth in a kosher way. Nobody touched it. Somebody else touched it, put it in his mouth. Anyone with a fork, that cannot become Tamei. Anything, any problem with this Terumah? No. Can he eat a radish now of Cholin? The radish is dry. What's the only potential problem that can happen? That when he sticks his radish in his mouth, his hand might touch the teruma that's in his mouth. That the rabbis will not go in. He'll be careful. Okay, good. Now, if the radish was wet, he's out. There's no way he can protect himself. Because once he touches the radish, the water becomes rishon, makes the radish a sheni. Now the sheni food's in his mouth touching the teruma, it's finished. So it has to be nigubim. However, for Kodesh, even the Gubin is going to be a problem. What's the problem? Everything's dry here. His hand's going to pick up the radish. Does the radish become anything? No. The Gubin. Puts it in his mouth, nothing can happen. The radish is not Tameh. The issue is that when he sticks his hand in his mouth, we're worried that his hand itself might touch the Kodesh. His hand's a Shini, and it's going to make the Kodesh a Shilishi. That's the Keshe of the Mishnah. We go one step further. The Kodesh gazu bu Rabbanan, the Truma lo gazu bu Rabbanan. Ha'onenu mechosar kipurim. Okay, last case of the Mishnah. Onen, what's an onen? Somebody, relative died. They didn't bury him yet. So the law is, an onen is not allowed to eat Kodesh. That's a fact. Once already he finishes Aninut, he's allowed to eat Kodesh again. Now let's say the onen did not become Tameh. Let's say the Havra Kodesh buried that guy.
from the Torah law, once his aninut is over, it's Kodesh. The rabbis instituted that an onen has to go to the mikveh after his aninut in order to eat Kodesh, even if he didn't become tameh. Next case, Mechusar Kippurim. Guy's a zav. 7 day went to the mikveh. That mikveh cannot eat Kodesh yet. He has to wait to bring his korban the next day. From the Torah, once he brings his korban the next day, eat Kodesh. Yeah. Rabbis came along and said, after your korban, you want to eat Kodesh? Mikveh. So the Gemara asks, my tama, what's the reason over here? Yeah. Which means the chaurai went to the mikveh already. Yeah. So what are you telling me that after his aninut, he's got to go to mikveh? He didn't become tameh. Or you tell me after his korban, he has to go to mikveh. What's the problem? My tama. Gemara says, kevan da'ada idana abu aside atzlichinu rabanan tevila. At the time of Aninut, at that point was he allowed to eat Kodesh? No. Now his Aninut is over. Since he wasn't allowed to eat Kodesh for that whole time, we're concerned that he took his mind off watching himself for a Kodesh level, because it was Asur for him. So what does he have to be careful for? So then once the Aninut was over, you want to go back to eating Kodesh? It was like there was a Seyah Haddad, there was a break in the thought process. You got to go back to the mikveh. The Mechusar Kippurim went to the mikveh on the seventh day. After he went to the mikveh, was he allowed to eat Kodesh? He wasn't allowed to eat Kodesh. So once he's not allowed to eat Kodesh, well, he must have not been careful for Kodesh, because he can't eat it. So therefore, since there was a time that it was still Asur for him to eat Kodesh, even though he went to the mikveh, so therefore the rabbis were concerned that lapse in his mind, it's going to cause him not to be careful. Therefore, after he brings, you want to eat Kodesh? Go to the mikveh again. You want to eat Kodesh? Even though you're on in, you didn't come and cut him a tumah, but you weren't allowed. It was a shat isur. Once the shat isur, we consider it a sehadat, and therefore he has to go to the mikveh one more time. Baruch Adonai le'olam.
Amen. Amen.